morning's service. It is good to gather together to remember anew the one who came to bring peace to his people. Let us pray for his blessing. Lord, we know our help comes from you, so please help us this morning to hear your gospel afresh and jointly praise you for your faithfulness to your people and the peace that you bring. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, since it was my turn to write the elder devotional for the newsletter, Pastor asked if I would take this time to present that to you also. And as I was preparing it, the assignment blossomed into moderating the whole thing, so be careful what you agree to do. No, I'm kidding. It's a joy to lead us today. So our scripture meditation this morning is from Isaiah 9, especially verse 6. But I'll read Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation and have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Peace has been defined broadly as the absence of conflict. We could say in the broadest terms, the United States of America is at peace. Or when you get home for the day and you realize you made it 8 hours without your boss yelling at you, you could say you had a peaceful day. At the time of Jesus, the known world was living under the Pax Romana, peace that came through Roman conquest. As a result, roads were built and commerce thrived. For many people, life was pretty good. Now, this was Rome's definition of peace. However, this time of peace was brought about through ruthless suppression of rebellion, along with loss of autonomy and heavy taxation. Because of this, the Jewish people were among those that didn't consider this a time of peace. In and around Jerusalem, there were often plots of rebellion. Zealots were seeking to overthrow Rome's rule, and even one of Jesus' disciples was called Simon the Zealot. The Jews' vision of peace was when a Savior would free Jerusalem from occupation so they could follow the rules of Moses, honor Abraham and their lineage, and return to the former glory, such as in the times of David and Solomon. It was among these differing visions of peace that the arrival of the Prince of Peace was announced by angels to shepherds outside of Bethlehem. Unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. See the similarity in wording to Isaiah 9, verse 6, to us a child is born. The shepherds didn't miss the significance of this announcement and ran to meet the Savior of the world. The Apostle John grasped the significance of Jesus' coming also. See how he describes it in John 1, verses 10 through 12. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice, the Roman world tried to make their own peace. They didn't know Jesus. The Jewish nation was, and still is, looking for peace in a Savior, but decided it couldn't be Jesus. Lastly, notice John didn't say that those who received Jesus would have no conflicts. What he said is, you can be a child of God. The most pressing issue in our lives is the fact that by nature we were enemies of God and can only expect punishment for the wages of sin is death. But what we celebrate at Christmas time is that God did not leave us in this state. He wanted peace, and so he sent the Prince of Peace into the world to pay the penalty for sin. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Paul calls it in Colossians 1, peace by the blood of the cross. This is the peace of the Prince of Peace, that we can have a right standing before God. And more than that, we can be his children. God told Isaiah to prophetically declare, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Additionally, before his ascension, Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. That reconciling peace that Jesus accomplished for us, he has now placed in our hearts. So if Jesus actively pursued peace with us, brothers and sisters in Christ, if he left that peace with us, then we should actively pursue peace and forgiveness with others. Many passages in the Bible bring to our attention the importance of making peace. Romans 14, verse 19, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbringing. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Ephesians 4, 32 through chapter 5, verse 1, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Note that Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What do the beloved children of God look like? They imitate God and look like peacemakers. The Lord's Supper is a beautiful picture of the restored fellowship and peace Christ purchased for us. But communion, by its very name, is also a celebration of peace with our neighbor. One of the parts of examination in our standard communion form says that partakers are to carefully examine their conscience to see whether they, with full sincerity, strive to lay aside all enmity, hatred, envy, and earnestly resolve from this day forward to live with their neighbor in true love and unity. As we celebrate with family and friends today and start the new year soon, remember, if you're looking to orderliness or tradition or just getting along with everyone for your ultimate peace, you're missing the peace of the Prince of Peace. Paul could rejoice in suffering because his peace was that he was a child of God. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, made peace with you, dear believer. God made you his child, placed peace in your heart, and now calls you to be a peacemaker to others. Amen. Can you join me now in confessing together the Heidelberg Catechism questions 35 and 36 up on the screen or in your bulletin too? I'll say the question and we'll say together the answer. Number 35, what does it mean that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary? That the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took to himself through the working of the Holy Spirit from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary a true human nature, so that he might also become David's true descendant, like his brothers, in all things except for sin. Number 36, how does the holy conception and birth of Christ benefit you? He is our mediator, and in God's sight, he covers with his innocence and perfect holiness my sin, in which I was conceived. Scripture is God's single story of his salvation of sinners who trust in Jesus. We come to know the gospel because, as the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 6 says, God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets, and foreshadowed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. And finally, he fulfilled it through his own beloved Son. After a prayer of unison found in your bulletin or on the screen, listen to the gospel told through four readings of anticipation from the Old Testament and five of fulfillment in the New Testament, and raise your voices in praise of the inexpressible gift of Jesus. We'll proceed through the readings and the singing unannounced. Would you stand with me as we pray together this prayer? Merciful Father, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. He who was rich for ourselves became poor. The eternal Word made flesh, a great light shining in the darkness. Only because of your word and spirit have we seen that light and been drawn into its brightness. Give us the grace, humbly and joyfully, to receive your Son, even as the shepherds and princes who welcomed him. And look no further for our redemption than to this child lying in a manger. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is Genesis 3, 8 through 19. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
From Isaiah 11, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding,
the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little children shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Our fourth and final lesson of anticipation is from Micah 5, starting at verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Finally, New Testament fulfillment. First lesson is Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Lesson 6, the birth of Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he belonged to the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. Luke 2:8-16. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Matthew 2:1-12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. From John 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
At this time, we'll take an offering for the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission.
Would you stand together with me and pray together this closing prayer in unison? It's in your bulletin or on the screen here. Pray with me together. Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, for you have visited and redeemed your people. You have raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of your servant David. As you spoke by the mouth of your holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. You have performed the mercy promised to our fathers and have remembered your holy covenant, the oath which you swore to our father Abraham. You have granted us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve you without fear in holiness and righteousness before you all the days of our life.